My name is Xavier Lafrance. I'm right now a PhD student in political science at York University, Toronto. And I was involved for a number of years in the Quebec student movement, specifically in the AC, Association pour une solidarité des syndicats étudiants, which is the organization behind CLASS, which has a leading role in the current student strike going on in Quebec, and which also launched and was a major player in the 2005 strike, which was also a general strike, student strike in Quebec at the time. And I was on the executive committee back then. I was responsible for external relations, and I was also a spokesperson. So I did media work during that strike in 2005. ASSE was created in 2001. It was actually an organization that was a follow-up on MDE, Mouvement pour le droit d'éducation, which existed in the 90s, and other organizations before that in the 80s, ANEC and UGEC. So ASSE was created as a way to really revitalize this tradition of democratic and combative student unionism in Quebec. And, yeah, went through a different struggle, most importantly, 2005 strike that was partly successful. And then after that, well, now, 2012 has been really crucial in organizing CLASS. So CLASS is actually a coalition. We did the same in 2005. That's a different name, but same idea. Is a coalition called for by ASSE. So before the strike, the ASSE student unions, member of ASSE, said we need to have a broader front, if you like. And so we're going to invite other non-affiliated student unions, or even student unions who are affiliated with the FIC and FERG, the other two big student federations, to join us and have congresses together and decide for actions and have a platform and, you know, face the state together.
You mentioned that the Quebec student movement is particularly democratic and militant. And I think this makes it different than the student movement and the English-speaking Canada. Can you talk about how it became that way?
Yeah, no, that's a crucial point. You're absolutely right. That's the big difference. It's certainly democracy and activism or militant, being militant. And it's actually, it comes from a long history. It goes back to the 60s when the first, you know, National Student Union Federation was created, UGEC, and through a number of general strikes from 68 to 2012, there's been nine general strikes, student general strike in Quebec. So, yeah, and the basic notion is that our representative that will face, say, the state, you know, through bargaining or the media or campus administration, the power that they have is only really the power that we can give them through our collective action, being mobilized, you know, going on strike, or even before that, being able to say, if you don't actually consider seriously our demands, we might go on strike. And a crucial way to do that is to actually have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of students, getting together in general membership meetings and saying, we're gonna adopt these demands. We're gonna discuss them, we're gonna debate on them, and vote on them. And once we vote on them, you know, we send delegates in the Congress at the provincial level, and they will, you know, adopt a platform of demands, say, and we'll present that to the state. But our representatives are then able to say what we're bargaining on at the table right now is not simply our great ideas that we just came up with, you know, within a group of seven executive committee members. Say. It's actually been debated at the base through GMNs and congresses, and thousands of people and tens of thousands of people are ready to mobilize on that. So that's a crucial point here. One influence in Quebec has been the French student movement, not so much necessarily now, but in the 60s, in reference to the Charte de Grenoble, which was adopted by the French student movement in 1946, which basically said that the students are intellectual workers who have, like, a common interest, that is, you know, a right to free and public education, and a social responsibility to actually fight for that. And basically the idea is that we do that through student unionism, meaning that we need to go beyond being simply a circle of activists on campus who are doing, you know, important and interesting work on different political causes, and actually move outwards towards the larger, the broader student body, the broader student population, because they actually have an interest. And sometimes, you know, they feel atomized. They don't know what to do when they're facing systematic tuition hikes, you know, years after years, semester after semester. But they have an interest in blocking that. And if only they can get together through GMMs, they can realize that and organize that and make decision and actually maybe eventually fight. Now, in Quebec, this was really implemented in the 60s, as I said. But we had to systematically fight and organize in order to maintain and always reactivate this culture of GMMs, right? It's not something that's just out there and that we can simply sit on it, you know, and rely on it, knowing that it will just be there. We have to systematically inform the student body, tell students, you know, in cafeterias, in even classes, we'll go into classes, announce, you know, GMMs and all of that, and make sure that they're attended. Now, we need not to have a really romantic, you know, too romantic vision of that. In all honesty, at many points, when we're not in a campaign or during a general strike, like we are right now, GMMs will not be attended by tons of people. But we need to always make sure that these people, like the student body, the broader student body, is actually aware that these structures exist and try to make them attend them at all time. But for sure that when it really gets important and when we're really in a campaign and might lead to general strike, that they will invest these structures that are oftentimes latent and can be reactivated. And that's been the struggle. And we've been able to do that through, you know, student unions at the campus level and at the national level or the provincial level through organizations like SE. We really try to organize a network of activists across campuses, put them into contact as camp formation, that is formation retreat, where we get together, you know, at every semester and learn about, you know, teach one another about the student, the history of student movement, how to organize a GMM, how to organize a campaign, a demonstration, why should we ask for education, et cetera, et cetera.
The other two student unions and or organizations in Quebec, do they use the same models and have the same political practice?
Well, we need to have a nuance in here. More and more, because they're being pressurized from their own members now. And that's really interesting. And since 2005 and even more so 2012, it's been the case more and more. Now, GMMs also will take different forms depending on the campus. So, for example, we have CEGEP, right, in Quebec, colleges, basically, pre-university formation there. And there you're going to have mostly campus student unions. So you're going to have GMMs for the whole campus, right? Other places in university campuses, you're going to have both departmental GMMs. For example, I was in political science at UQAM, University of Quebec in Montreal. We would have our student union in our program, in our department, and have GMMs there. And then we also had GMMs at the faculty level, Faculty of Political Science and Law. And then if you take, for example, say, Concordia or even University of Montreal, they don't have campus GMMs, but they will have departmental GMMs. So it's all different, right? But one thing, to answer your question directly, it's true that SEC and FERC, you know, were both at the CEGEP and then the university level, right, who have been historically, since their creation in the early 90s, more lobbyist, less relying on mass mobilization, and also very much so less democratic, and not really trying to preserve and reactivate this culture of GMMs. Because they didn't really depend on a vision that said the power of our representative is only the power that we can give them collectively through mobilization or potential mobilization. But really interestingly, in 2005, it's a long story, but to make it short, they were pressurized from below by people who started realizing that our power was actually based on our capacity to organize democratically from below and, you know, get on the street and go through actions and all of that, support a representative. And more people have been going towards SA in the years in between 2005 and 2012, and even more so in 2012. And now, individuals within the second FERC and also student unions within these organizations are more and more saying we need to have GMMs, we need to have mobilization and formation, circulation.
I want to change gears for a moment. I was wondering if you could speak to the differences between the 2005 and the 2012 strike.
So, well, first point, I guess, is that the issue was a bit different. The immediate demands were different. So, 2005, it was against a reform in the loans and grant system in Quebec. Basically, the government said, we're going to transfer the administration of loans to private banks, private financial institutions. But also, and very importantly, we're going to take $103 million that were given in bursary annually and transfer that into loan. So that student debt would skyrocket. Now, in 2012, it's on tuition fees, the tuition hike. That's really the key issue that sparked the whole struggle in 2012. Government announcing at the end of 2010 that they would increase the tuition fees by 75%. Now, in 2005, I guess a major difference during the struggle was that SA, just before that strike, was just about dying. It was going very bad. We lost Concordia as a member, and was not going very well. We had attempted a general strike the year before. It failed. And so we, you know, we said we need to attempt to try to have another one in 2004 and 2005 because the reform that was announced in the London Grants was so important. And so we went for it. And we were able to launch a coalition, like CLASS, except it was called TASSE at the time. And one big difference is that the FEC and FERC, the big students' federation at the time, went to bargain with the state without us. And so we were throughout the conflict, except on one occasion at the very beginning, we were left out of bargaining, which was really undemocratic. And we certainly said so in the media and everywhere we could, because we represented, within the CASSE, 70,000 people that were on strike out of probably around 185,000 in general strike. And so what happened is that they bargained with the state, FEC and FERC, and they had a deal, but it was bad considering the balance of power that we have built and the level of support that would show, you know, from the public that was shown in poll, like more than 70% of people were backing us in the struggle, et cetera. And so they had this deal, but a lot of people were not satisfied with it. Certainly we were not, and our members, the 70,000 people, were not, and rejected it in GMNs. But also, really interestingly, actually, people from FEC and FERC from below rejected it too. And so out of the 180,000 or 85,000 that were on strike, around 120 or 150,000 rejected the deal, which was anyhow implemented. And a lot of people were not really happy about that. And as I said, a lot of people said we need to organize more democratically. And so SA gained new members in the following up years, and FERC actually lost some membership. Really important student unions left. And now a lot of people learned that as a lesson. In 2012, there's a lot of pressure coming from below, which forces FEC and FERC to say that we're not going to bargain alone. We're going to make sure it's more democratic and CLASS is going to be included. And so CLASS has been representing actually now the majority of strikers are represented by CLASS. And FEC and FERC cannot go and bargain alone undemocratically. So that's a huge difference.
You mentioned that Concordia was affiliated with SA, but that ended. Can you unpack that?
If I can what, sorry?
Can you expand upon that?
Yeah. I guess Concordia was affiliated because, and it's actually an interesting point. They were affiliated in, you know, probably from 2003 to 2002, 2004, something like that. I can't recall, but for a few years they were. And it really directly came from the fact that a left executive committee was elected in the early 2000s in Concordia. You know, good activists, you know, really committed to the cause, were elected. And they affiliated the organization to SA. And it was good in a sense, because that means, you know, we had a new big member and also financial resources coming from that, from dues and all of that. But there was no real culture of democracy in GMMs at Concordia, more so than McGill. But this culture was really different. And it was, you quickly we realized that and said, you know, we have a big job to do there. And if we're not going to be able to actually create a culture of GMMs and student union, combative and democratic, they probably will leave. And sure enough, a more right-wing, if you like, executive committee was elected in 2004. And they started, you know, talking with Ferg, and they left SA and went with Ferg.
You're at the York University right now, which is an English-speaking university. I'm wondering if being involved as a student there, you can feel the difference in the way student politics manifests.
Definitely, I can. When I moved in Toronto to do my MA in 2006, right after the strike, which was also very large in 2005, it was clear to me that there was a different, you know, an absence of tradition of democracy and activism, at least, you know, different from what I've experienced in Quebec. There was no, and to my knowledge, there's still no, really, culture of democracy from below through general membership meetings or general assemblies. You know, you have annual, more or less ritual GMMs, but very few people attend them. And yeah, so I could certainly feel that. I wouldn't hear about GMMs. I wouldn't see them. I would have gone through them, but they were not there. And I saw a lot of really committed activists, you know, who were really sincere, I'm sure, but I didn't see the same way of proceeding.
From your assessment, is the how connected is the current strike to anti-austerity and anti-neoliberal developments that are happening across the world?
Yeah, it's really much, it's very much connected. And it's also really interesting. I said earlier that the strike has been sparked by the tuition hike, right? And that's crucial, you know, immediate demand, and people can get mobilized around that, even if they're not activists, you know. They have, as I said, an interest, and they're like, no, I'm not going to pay that money. That's not fair. And from there, really rapidly, you can see that people, through struggle, as they try to change their, you know, political or social environment, in that case, you know, in opposition to that policy, they also change themselves, individually and collectively. They have debates in GMMs. They go out in the street. They realize, you know, that they're facing police brutality. They start thinking about where does that policy come from and make some link. And really rapidly, people were saying, you know, and a lot of people were saying, it's not just about the tuition hike. It's broader than that. First, it's about blocking a commodification of education and the imposition of user-payer. And a lot of people were also saying, this is austerity measures. They're trying to make us pay for the, you know, for the crisis. This is, you know, a regressive taxation that's trying to impose on us. And there was also a lot of inspiration coming from, you know, the Arab Spring. You know, you probably heard the Maple Spring, you know, Printemps Arabes, as the movement has been called. And a lot of people were also inspired by what happened in Chile, in England, in Iceland, and all over the place. And so there's a clear feel now that it's even, you know, broader than just education. It's against austerity measures, and that we're actually related to this trend of struggles that are popping up, you know, around the world. And it's even deeper than just austerity now. It's also not that austerity is not a deep problem in the first place, but it's also around democracy, as we're facing repression and the Law 78, who's really, you know, which is really trying to restrict our, you know, liberty of assembly, freedom, and protest. But the Occupy movement certainly also, I didn't mention it earlier, but certainly contributed to this, you know, this feel in the air that something was going on, that protest was possible, and to actually challenge austerity measures and all of that. But when it comes to democracy, we had this tradition before, and actually would argue that it's probably working better than in the Occupy movement, and that the way the strike is organized in Quebec is more democratic than what we find in the Occupy movement even. I can expand on that if you want. And I think that essay was probably influenced, too, by the anti-globalization movement, you know, which was really grassroots-based and really, you know, become, you know, this really after the fall of the wall and the renewal of social movements in the late 90s and to that day, you know, democracy has been so important. People are really suspicious of, you know, centralized, you know, more like Marxist-Leninist from the 60s and 70s types of organization, right? And that's a really good thing, right? So it's in the air, and certainly the movement in Ivanesse benefits from that old spirit and really is engaged in that old trend of, you know, fighting from below. And so you see that in GMM and the way we organize, but you also see that in demonstrations for more than, I don't know what the number is now, but for probably around 50 days in a row now, there's been night marches in the streets of Montreal and in many other cities, actually, also. And now you have the casserole, too, right, for a few weeks and going on. And it's just people going on the street and taking over the demonstration. I've been to a few of these in Montreal, and it's largely self-organized. And people decide where they're going to go, you know, what route, what street they're going to take in the city and all of that. So there really is very much so the spirit that we need to be in control of our movement, and that's really important. And I think that probably a lot of people make that connection between what's going on within this movement and, you know, preoccupation from the anti-globalization and the Occupy movement.
I'm interested in knowing the influence of parties like the Parti Québécois and Québec Solidaire on the student protests right now, if you could speak to that.
Yeah. Well, the PQ has been ambiguous at best. You know, they've been quite opportunistic, wearing the red square in the National Assembly and the media. But Marois, the chief, you know, the leader of PQ, has been saying that they would impose a moratorium. They wouldn't go through with the tuition hike right now if they were in power, but that eventually there would be tuition hike and probably, you know, indexation on, you know, following inflation. So they've been really ambiguous. And actually, she was actually in the 90s involved in, you know, she tried to impose a really important tuition hike in 96, and there was a strike, and that was blocked at the time. So it's not new, but they're still really ambiguous at very best on this issue. There's been some people from, you know, some membership, I guess, participating in marches, but they haven't been mobilizing their base and really trying to you know, help sustaining and enlarging this movement and expanding it. Québec Solidaire has been really trying to do so. You can see it with the only MP that's elected from Québec Solidaire, Amir Kadir. Been really supportive in the media. He's been himself participating in marches denouncing the Law 78, which restricts our right to protest. You know, he's been arrested last week, actually, or a few days ago, on that. And also, it's not just him, it's members of Québec Solidaire who are really much involved in the movement and have elected a position in different organizations and are also, you know, outside of these organizations but trying to get the base out and, you know, really supporting the movement. Québec Solidaire, just like CLASS, is actually for asking for free education. Not necessarily as an immediate demand. We realize that we probably don't have the balance of power to gain free education in 2012, but that we need to work towards that, and that should be your perspective.
Could you speak about the various political currents that exist within the student movement?
Yeah, well, to some extent, because, you know, I haven't been involved in the same way. I've been, like, to Montreal a lot during the movement, many, many times, but I haven't been involved in, you know, all the internal debates the way I was in 2005. But my understanding is that, I know for a fact that some individuals, for example, in the ASSE Executive Committee and the many other committees that exist around it in CLASS, you know, formerly existing committees, are a member of Québec Solidaire, for example, and many others are a member of NIFAC, if you want to, you know, anarchist group. And then you have non-affiliated activists, too. So you have these different currents, and you have debates, but one thing that really is good and amazing to me is that there's a level of maturity that maybe we didn't have in 2005, in the sense that these people are working together really effectively. So I would go to the ASSE office, you know, the CLASS office. I was there last week, for example, and I talked with these different individuals, which I know, you know, and they're from different perspectives. Some of them are more, you know, are affiliated with Quebec Solidaire. Others are, you know, with this anarchist group or whatever, maybe more radical groups. And they talk and they debate and they work together in a really, really friendly way. And they're actually real friends, you know. They go out for a beer after and they...
In your estimation, what, where is the movement going and what kind of impact is it going to have?
That's the huge question that we need to think of. I'm not sure. One big challenge is to enlarge a movement and to really have the labor movement and the workers on board more than has been the case so far. So with the Casserole, for example, there was a clear show of support in the street, a really concrete support that we got. So that's good, you know. People are not students, you know, from the general populations, workers actually get down to the street and show support. So that's good. But now we need to move beyond that and to have the, you know, the trade unions not just doing gestures of solidarity, as you know, the top officialdom has been doing so far, and actually get them to mobilize their base, their membership, to come out massively in the street with us. And eventually work towards a social strike, or a general strike, if you like. Maybe as a start, you know, a one-day action, which we would go on strike together, you know, students and workers on one day, and then see from there what happens, you know, if we need to do more of that and expand the movement, et cetera. And with the loss of an EA, the loss of an EA restricts our ability to take the street and have demonstration. You know? But it also basically imposed a lockout on the movement, meaning that the, you know, classes for people that have been on strike on different schools, you know, Sejapin University, they have been suspended until August. And so now we have a few months, you know, a few weeks actually, you know, 2 months or whatever, until August, to organize and try to make that happen when we come back in August or September. But that's going to be a big challenge, not going to be easy. Some local unions and different structures within the big labor federation in Quebec have been trying to debate, and some of them have even, very few of them, but some have been adopting mandate to really explore, you know, going towards a social strike and solidarity with the students. It's going to be hard, but that would be a really important thing to do. But one thing is for sure is that we need to win that. If we lose that, the Liberals will possibly get reelected, and then they'll have a free highway in front of them to go on with other policies that will be, you know, austerity and very neoliberal policies. So we need to win the struggle, at least make them back down substantially on the hike, or whatever exactly concretely that would be. But we need to win something here, you know, lock them at least partially. And within the student movement, nothing will be the same ever again, I think. 2005 was a game changer in many ways, as I said, because it really forced FERC and FIC to actually go towards more democratic ways of doing things, to some extent, especially FERC, maybe. But after 2012, this idea that we can, you know, bargain with the state without having any kind of democratic representation, like real democratic control from below, it's going to be really hard to have.
Do you think this will have an impact on the English language student movement?
I don't know. It's for us to decide, I guess, all over the country. I feel in Toronto that a lot of activists that are, you know, on campuses and around it and really realize the importance of this movement in Quebec, which is really being followed throughout the world by media and activists and general population throughout the world, you know, which is amazing. So we need, you know, we're just nearby. We're in the same, you know, country. I'm in Ontario, and I can feel that people are feeling that this is the time to actually, if we're going to change our ways of doing, and if we're going to democratize our structures, and if we're going to try and go, you know, fighting against tuition hikes and for free education and for education as a right, with an eventually general strike, this is the time to actually rapidly try to organize, to organize towards this. I'm not saying that we should have a general strike right away. You cannot simply decree that. You need to work and transform the structures. It's a long-term process. I don't know how long it will be, but we should try and start it, kick start it right now.
And I think this is going to be my final question. What do you think activists outside of Quebec and Montreal can do to support the movement right now?
Organize. Well, in a really concrete and immediate way, get some financial donations. Class is broke now. I'm not sure exactly what the state of the, you know, their finances is, but they're going to need some money. It costs a lot of money to have, like, massive demonstration of over 200,000, as they had three times in the last few months. You need to organize congresses, et cetera, et cetera. It costs a lot of money. So they need financial donations and support. And so, you know, TA and RA unions, student unions, other labor unions need to show support in that really concrete and immediate way. That's the first thing. But besides that, you know, besides having also, you know, demonstrations right now, you know, in the following days and weeks and months of support and showing that Quebec is not isolated and that the rest of the country and the world is actually looking at what's going on there and trying to show support and solidarity. So that's really important. But besides that, what we really need to be able to do is to organize a movement that will have, that will develop the same kind of capacities and strength and democratic structures so that we can actually win, fight and win here and make some gains. And so that next time when they try to have another tuition hike in Quebec or whatever policies, you know, related to education or others for that matter, but they cannot simply say, we need to catch up on the Canadian average because they pay more money and we should be paying more, et cetera. If we can fight and organize a movement so that, you know, we can block tuition hikes in Ontario, for example, or, you know, Nova Scotia or BC or whatever, it will make a huge difference. That would be the best solution that we can show, is to organize and fight for, you know, education in our own provinces.